I believe in the good things coming, 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 coming. I believe in the good things coming, 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 coming.
Nako and I met on the grounds at Marymore Park outside of Seattle, where he played back-to-back shows on the Good Vibes tour with Revolution. It was a beautiful summer day and things were bustling. You'll hear gear being loaded and unloaded, lots of friendly chatter, the kids playing. Despite the background noise, the general tone of the space was really mellow. It's evident that Medicine for the People takes what they're doing seriously. They look after their bodies and minds and each other.
It's great to have you here, and I know you tour almost tirelessly, so you know it's always good to come to home mm-hmm. turf.
Yeah, especially in the summertime, it's so nice out.
Yeah.
And being in the rivers, in the mountains up here.
All the things you sing about.
Yeah, this is where home is for sure.
Yeah.
Wintertime, I'm kind of like, kind of frigid. Kind of left because of the rain. But it's all good. Beautiful out here for sure.
So when you are traveling all over the place, how do you stay well? What's your medicine besides music when you're on the road?
Well, we are really lucky to have we have a really good crew of guys.
Mm-hmm.
That all eat super healthy, and none of us are vegan. A couple vegetarians, and our horn player actually is like our shop mama.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of knows like what we want to eat, and so usually at every stop he goes and shops for us. So we usually have like a really good selection of stuff. In fact, like some of our friends come on the bus the other day, and they're like, "Dang, you guys have like healthy stuff on here."
Mm-hmm.
We're like, well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the only way to be.
So you're eating healthy? Do you have a movement practice?
Yeah, so we also get like spring water wherever we go, which is really rad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're all about the water.
Great.
And we're always on each other's case about taking our really funny actually taking our vitamins and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
Because when you're on a bus with like, you know, nine dudes
and one person
AC
gets sick.
Is like rolling like that, like
right.
I'm just coming out of mine now. We had just super cold and super hot, super cold and super hot, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, so moving is wise, like me and a couple of other guys, most of us actually kind of Pato and I run.
Mm-hmm.
Max is like the guy that finds the big rock to like weightlift.
Mm-hmm.
Chase and our guitar player and our violin player also sometimes will lead us in some yoga.
Nice.
As well. We all do our own stretching. We don't necessarily do it together.
Yeah.
But we definitely get stir crazy and we're all really active. Most of us are surfers.
Yeah.
So when we were just in our tour in Australia, we caught like some really great swell, and so we're always keeping an eye out for that.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of our thing.
You're kind of talking about how everybody in the band has a role. It sounds like everybody kind of plays the role. Max is sort of the food mama.
Everyone kind of picks up their own little thing.
Yeah.
You know, we learn to take care of each other.
Yeah. It reminds me of what you said about the tribal mentality, that mm-hmm. everybody has a role. Mm-hmm. What roles do you see for yogis as far as ways to create change?
Oh, man. I think it actually sets an example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a parent or... You know, if you have friends who are so not into, like, you know, they think that yoga is, like, some hippie thing or whatever,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're showing by example not only, like, a sort of ritualistic, like, practice for your body that can show in mm-hmm. how you live and in how you look. And it's, you know, especially for kids, too, it's, like, being able to start them at a young age and show them that it's not something that's weird or lame or, like,
yeah.
or boring. It can be really fun and like mm-hmm. and help them feel good. I think that that's a pretty important piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. How do you measure change? You're sort of a change agent. That's one
question.
Thing I love about your music is that, in fact, last night when you were singing Make a Change, and you had the whole crowd was singing, "I will make a change, I will make a change." It was just so heartening and so beautiful that just by virtue of the music that you've written and put so much passion and heart into, you have all of these people that are committing to making a change because they're singing along with you, which
yeah.
is so beautiful to me.
I'm glad
me.
You could hear that because I couldn't hear it.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah.
I don't really know.
So moving. Yeah. Yeah, everyone was singing along with you most of the show.
That's cool.
Actually, yeah, Hoka really, I think, really struck a nerve.
Yeah, it was definitely a more mature, like, statement, too, for people in that sense.
Yeah,
So what was the question?
So how do you measure change, either within yourself or without in the world? You know, I think sometimes it's like, you know, we can strive. And I know for me, you know, trying to eat really healthfully and with respect to animals and respect to the planet, it's, you know, you can feel like, well, I'm really making an effort and taking some flack for it, but I'm not seeing a whole lot of return on this.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel like I'm making a dent. And of course you do for yourself, you know.
Yeah.
You do it for your own ethics, but
I think in my like human mind, I definitely, there's like a couple different ways to measure it in that sense where, but then in my like spirit mind sometimes I think that like, is it necessary to measure it?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it we like at, when I take myself outside of myself and I think like, one second, sweetie. When you're like, you know, it's such a human thing to want to know like to know the results of things.
Sure.
You know?
Right. Yeah. That's a good point.
To need to know like, you know, is what I'm doing, or have I done something that's showing a result, you know, to something. And like, so when you asked me that, the first thing I thought of was how I feel about it, and if it's something that, if I see, well, I guess I was thinking about like my own stuff, and like, you know, the through the chapters you go through in life, and the transformations you go through in life, and like, am I still doing the same things I used to do? You know, patterns are okay, you know, it just depends on what they are, I suppose, you know, and just keeping track of like what those things are for me and like if they're serving me, you know. But I think sometimes you spend so much time like thinking about those things that like, you know, it's a balancing act of like knowing how much to like, if you're overthinking or if you're not thinking enough. And so I guess as a measuring change for me on the scale of like what we do, it's immeasurable, I feel like, because there's countless experiences and daily moments that I have that I see transformation happening that's as a result of the music, you know, and as a result of the life that we choose to live in the industry that is so stubborn to change.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the life that we choose to live. You didn't exactly choose this life, it sounds like. I read that you toured with an animal starting out.
Yeah.
What was the animal?
My dog, Coda.
Coda, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And you were touring around the country because
It wasn't even a word. Yeah, touring wasn't a word. It was like we were just cruising.
Right. Finding gigs.
In the van. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of just exploring the States with whatever cash I had. Playing at farmers markets and coffee shops.
And yeah. And how long ago was that?
Gosh, that was 2008 to 2012. 2012 is the last year I did that before I took on like a manager and an agent and stuff like that. And started doing it with the band. Yeah.
And when did you know this was a thing? It was kind of taking on a life of its own.
Yeah, I mean, I was like burning all the CDs. I was doing the posters, screen printing the shirts. You know, trying to keep track of all the places in the country that I was going to try and make it to for a coffee shop gig.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And at a certain point in 2012, I was like, okay, this is getting way too much for me. The demand, Aloha Kea Kua came out in 2012, and that was like a video that we didn't do, and it went viral, and we started getting all these messages from all around the world, and I was just like, whoa, this is like something, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about the music industry, so I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But I definitely picked it up pretty quick, and you know, I suppose I was made for it in that sense. So,
yeah.
But I was farming before that, so the whole thing
it's
was
wild. Funny. And another animal question. You have a horse.
Foxfire.
Foxfire.
Yeah.
Where does Foxfire live?
In Topanga Canyon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So in LA. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's boarded or whatever when you're on the road.
Yeah, he lives at this dope ranch called Mesa Ranch, and he's got, like, a bunch of friends there. And
yeah, cool.
But
do you have any good horse stories or horse metaphors?
Oh, my God, yeah. So many horse stories. Like, in Hawaii, like, I had four horses in Hawaii, like, when I was living there full time.
When you were farming?
Yeah, yeah. And there's nothing that will get you closer to understanding how to relate to animals or even to humans, I suppose, than like working with horses. That's what I feel, because they're just enough like human and how they communicate with you, and just enough wild to help you find that perfect balance between like your human mind and like your mind that understands nature, that can, that doesn't need like words, you know, you can communicate with like
sense.
Your action and, and your vibe. Yeah, so it's a whole thing with them, and it's a lot of patience.
Would you call horse a spirit animal for you?
I guess so, yeah. I feel like I have a lot of spirit animals.
Yeah, what are your others?
Oh, coyotes. I love coyotes. Mm-hmm. They always seem to, like, show up.
Yeah, they show up a lot in lyrics.
Yeah. Coyotes and hummingbirds and dragonflies and, you know, the creatures that show up in the most appropriate time.
I love the story that you were telling. I don't remember what interview it was, but you were talking about a spider that was... You were maybe doing push-ups or something over the spider. And,
oh, my God,
and he's guiding you and gave you some really,
like,
good advice.
I was like, very deep into Lhasa medicine, and, like, I was in Lhasa National Park.
What national park?
Lhasa. You know
what
that is?
No.
It's, like, near Reno.
Okay, never heard of it.
Super dope, like, national park north of south of Shasta. But, I was, like, doing push-ups on this rock in the sun on this river, and there's a spider there, and he was just, like, I was, like... What was I talking about? I was like trying to make this record, I think, and I was like, "Do I do it?" He's like, "Yeah, let's do it." I was like, okay.
You're like, "It's not time. There's not time, and there's never gonna be time.
Yeah.
You just have to do it." Yeah,
get it out there. They need
Your medicine is
the artist, though. Mind is so funny, you know. Like, you always go back and forth. There's so much stuff all the time.
Well, another thing, speaking of going back and forth, is I read that you think that you put too much into songs. Which I just, one thing I love about your music is that it's so epic. I mean, just like any great poem, and I love that, you know. And so then when you said you put too much in, I thought, what?
Well, you know, I just, there's a practice of understanding when the story's done, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I think that in previous, you know, times, I've definitely thought, like, gosh, am I done with this story? And then it wasn't done, and it. And then it's just about puzzle piecing it so that it's a tricky thing to let the listener in on something like that. Because it, you know, in some ways it does make sense, you know. But then also you have to puzzle piece it still a little bit to, like, have some kind of format that makes sense, you know. But we can get better at it. The songs that will go on the next Medicine record are still fairly lengthy.
Yeah.
But there's some shorter ones still. But, you know, I finished the thought in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then also just, like, working with, like, music industry people, you're just, like, you know, they have this, like, standard of way of things, and you're just, like, why would I ever live by that? So it's cool also, I mean, the music of this generation, too, there's so many artists that, like, are not conforming to the old model.
It's not about radio play anymore.
Right, but they're still getting radio play. Like, Chance the Rapper.
He's
got this classic song where he's talking about how they want 4-minute songs. He's like, you need a 4-hour praise dance. Performed every morn. I was like, yeah, man.
Yeah, school them.
Yeah, give it 4 hours.
I have a quick intermission. These are just some quick rapid-fire questions. Lefty or righty?
Right.
Morning or night?
Night.
Mountains or ocean?
Ocean.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
It's been 2 weeks since either of these things, all right? 2 weeks. Surfing or sex?
Surfing.
Speaking of food, Italian or Indian?
It's 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks without either.
Okay.
No surfing and no sex.
Oh, wait. How am I supposed to answer the question?
Which would you choose?
Oh, which would I choose?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Surfing.
I was like,
you
get,
I was a little surprised. But I mean,
I was like, I thought that was like, which one have you done in the last 2 weeks? Or haven't you done? Okay. Sex, for sure.
It's whatever the question means to you, Knuckles.
What about surf sex?
Yeah.
That'd be weird.
Work that out. They have yoga surfing. I mean, yoga, you know, paddleboard yoga or whatever it's called.
Oh, that'd be crazy. Okay, sex, for sure.
All right. So, food now.
Okay, Indian.
Indian, all right.
Yeah.
Booze or weed?
Weed.
Music or book?
Music.
Barack or Michelle?
Barack or Michelle? Barack.
Bob Dylan or Jack Kerouac?
Kerouac.
All right. And what does it mean to you to eat like a yogi?
These are cool. holistic, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Well-rounded, you know. And to be slow. To be slow, because you're, as with your and to live in prayer too, I suppose, in that way. To do everything that you do with prayer, and that when you say like that's in a good way, do it in a good way.
My thanks to Nako for taking the time for this interview. Before we wrapped up, I asked him which was his favorite item of the Eat Like a Yogi manifesto.
We are in this together. No man or woman is an island.
And what does that mean to you?
Well, one of my best friends used to say to me, don't, you know, you can be an ocean, you know, you hold all the things. When you're an island, you like cut yourself off from like the way that the rest of creation can nurture and care for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're hating on islands because we like islands, but but the metaphor speaking. So to be an ocean and let all things be with all things, touch all things with your waters and. Yeah, don't short yourself, don't cut yourself off, and seclude yourself from what nature has to give you and what creation has to give you.
That's beautiful.
So when you find yourself being an island, like, you know, let someone help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, because you're always like, I got this, I got it, it's all me, I got it, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get to like ask for help.
Yeah. When's the last time you asked for help?
Oh, earlier today when he'd sell painted my toenails.
Excellent.
All right. To learn more about the band or any of the causes they support, including the Winnemem Wintu Tribe's Salmon Restoration Project, go to nako.com.